Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 143. Tom, g'day.
Hello.
Uh-oh, sleepy. Not even your Dr. Pepper dark berry naturally and artificially flavoured beverage can keep you awake.
We are at 38 weeks and I am tired.
I thought you were going to say 38%, and I went, that's not too bad.
No, 38 weeks of pregnancy, and we're dealing with masks on, going to hospitals for checkups and having sleepover test runs and all of the fun.
That sounds like it is already a lot, but then with COVID, it's even more of a lot.
It's a lot, but I've watched things and I'm here to chat and
Yay.
Not think about that for a while.
Absolutely. That's what The Watchers is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Just having a chat about fun things. I've got a lot of news stories. I don't know how, because when I was having a bit of a look yesterday, I'm like, there's nothing.
I've got a handful.
Cool. I've watched a lot of stuff. It's a lot of, I don't even think I've watched anything new. I've just been watching old stuff.
Sure.
Just because, revisiting some things, and also watching stuff for the first time.
We'll get into it, but until either The Boys season 2 or Walking Dead comes back,
mm-hmm.
I have no new scripted series.
Yeah, me too, probably.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. finished this week, and that's it. Stargirl's done. It's all done. It's all just zoo programs or pickers or...
Which are totally fine.
Totally fine.
The quiz is a little different today.
Mm.
Before I knew that you were beyond the point of tired, I was like, let's just make the quiz easy. So it's literally just, we're going to put two actors head to head and you've got to pick which one stays.
Good.
That's all it is.
I can do that.
That's all it is.
That's good.
We can have a bit of a discuss as to why, or you can just be like, I'm not explaining my logic here.
Yeah, so if Sam Rockwell is in one of those matchups,
it's always going to be
Sam Rockwell.
Absolutely.
I don't need to go into that.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. As we come to the end of one season and the beginning of another, Council would like to remind you to be prepared for the change of colours. Out with the white and blue and in with the pink and green. This applies to your wheelie bins, cat and dog collars, sticky notes, glow sticks, bathroom tiles, birthday cake icing, favourite colours on dating apps and gaming avatars. You may have noticed petrol prices have gone up at the service station. When asked why is it so, owner and operator Malcolm said to due to big gatherings being banned, the sale of bags of ice has plummeted and he needs to make up the profit somewhere. Sonia Hargraves has promised to have her review of the 1984 English sitcom Fresh Fields done and uploaded to her YouTube channel by the end of the week. Driven to watch it after hearing the comedy's catchphrase, "It's only Sonia!" Our Sonia found watching the show a real treat. She's beyond excited to get into its spin-off, French Fields, which she hopes to review sometime next month. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
Well, the first story that I reckon has been the biggest for the past couple of days, or at least with the beginning of this week, is that Australia's own. Well, I should preface it with, first we had Naomi Watts playing Princess Diana in whatever that was a few years ago, a movie about Princess. I think that might have been about her last few days.
Yeah,
I think so. Well, now we've got Elizabeth Debicki,
who was great in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
She was amazing in that. I first discovered her in the Kettering incident, which I'm like that sort of... To say murder mystery, I think is probably the best way to not spoil anything.
Sure.
But that was an amazing show set in, I think it was the very south part of Tasmania, and I'm still waiting for a second season. It's not going to happen.
No.
I'm still waiting. She was in The Great Gatsby. She's going to be in Tenant.
Oh,
she's
sure.
in Tenant. Yes. I knew there was something else. I was like, yeah. So she's going places. She's going to be Princess Diana in, 1980s Diana, I think, in The Crown.
Sure.
The last couple of seasons of The Crown. So that, don't get too excited. It's not going to be out for a couple of years.
Yeah, this is a way off. Yeah.
Way off.
I also remember she was in the most recent Cloverfield movie. That
was. She was too.
Yeah,
that's right.
On the space trip one.
She was almost like the main star of that.
Yeah. she had a tough go.
It
was very Ripley-esque.
It really was. It really was. What have you found this week?
So The Rock is the highest earner for 2020, which is surprising because he has no movies out this year.
So how did he become the highest earner? Like what?
Under Armour, his clothing company.
I didn't know he was associated with Under Armour.
He's associated with a lot of brands.
Okay.
Tequila.
Yep.
He has fingers in many different pies, but yes, he is the highest earner. He was supposed to have at least Jungle Cruise out this year.
Mm-hmm.
Jumanji so that would Next Level was at the very tail end of last year.
Okay.
And yeah, pretty much everything that he was going to have out this year got parked. The second highest earner of the year was Ryan Reynolds, who has had Six Underground come out on Netflix.
Yep.
And that's all.
Well, but technically he got paid for it, that makes sense.
He was supposed to have Free Guy. There was a few things lined up.
Mm.
But he's having a real good day because just last night he sold his gin company, Aviation Gin, for $610 million.
We should start a gin company.
Seems like there's good money in gin.
Now, I vaguely remember back in the day where gin first started. I think it's an English thing, isn't it?
I don't know. Gin's awful.
I'm pretty sure it's English. But what they used to make it like in their bathtubs.
Yeah, it's rank.
So let's just do that. We'll put some cinnamon and lemon myrtle in.
How do you be Ryan Reynolds? You own a gin company and not call it Party Liaison.
Yeah, that's true. He's wasted opportunity.
Yes.
So absolutely.
Well done to those guys.
Mm.
I didn't bother looking through the list of who else was in there because what an irrelevant list for the year.
It really is.
The two people that were top earners barely did shit.
I'm pretty sure the main focus of that story is that is a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I imagine that the top earner will probably be Scarlett Johansson. She has tended to be, and she's got Black Widow that was supposed to come out this year. Who knows?
Who knows? Hey, I know why we don't know, because we've all been stuck at home and a lot of people during COVID times have been playing games online with their mates.
Yes.
Now, I was always under the impression that if you play multiplayer, it doesn't chew up that much data than you think it does. But it depends on the kind of game. I was reading a Kotaku article about it. And if you're like on a capped internet plan, which, well, Australia is, I don't think America – I think America can have unlimited. Not sure. Let us know.
They can't have unlimited water from the taps, so they can from their Wi-Fi.
Huh. So it evens out.
Yeah.
It evens out. So you'd be better off playing, if you've got a capped plan, something like League of Legends rather than Destiny 2. Destiny 2 approximately will use 300 megabytes per hour, meaning, I mean, you can get through gigabytes a week if you're at home.
Sure.
Playing with your friends or randoms, just on a game. Apparently it changes depending on what sort of game you're playing within Destiny.
Of course.
So a whole heap of team.
How often it's got a ping and all, yeah.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. Counter-Strike Global Offensive, choose up 250 megabytes per hour, which again can be lower if you've got less players. Third place was Overwatch with 135 megabytes. Dota 2, 120, and Warframe was 115. Fortnite is only 100. And Sea of Thieves only uses 30 megabytes per hour.
Hmm.
So that's probably the game you should be playing if you want to play an online game. I don't know about Fall Guys.
Sure, a lot of people are playing a lot of Fall Guys lately.
It's a lot of fun. I've played a little bit of it. I've played it a bit on the couch, like swapping the controller. That's quite fun. And I've played a bit with my cousins online.
Sure.
And I only ever got like the first two levels and then I would be eliminated. But my cousin, shout out to Arch, I've seen him get into the final twice.
Nice.
And do a pretty stellar job. Like the stuff I saw him doing, I'm like, I would have lasted 5 seconds. 5 seconds.
Grab some turpentine, acetone, and benzene. That's all you'll need to make dip and survive the upcoming cartoon apocalypse. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So Supernatural is coming back with their final 7 episodes in October.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool. That's season 15, I believe, that they're finishing up. And Jensen Ackles, who's one of the two boys, he has lined up his next gig. The other one, I never really watched Supernatural. The other brother, the one who is...
So the tall
There's
one
Dean
who,
and Sam.
So Dean is the tall guy that used to be... in Gilmore Girls, is that right? And then the other guy.
Yes. So the other guy, I think, is going to be doing the wrestling drama with Stephen Amell.
Oh, okay.
With the Green Arrow. I could be completely wrong about that.
That sounds cool.
But this other one, Jensen Ackles, he's been confirmed as he's been cast in season 3 of The Boys.
Cool.
He's going to be playing a character named Soldier Boy, who is not Superman Dos Hoes. That
oh, see,
song.
In my head, I was thinking like the little toy soldiers.
So Soldier Boy is the Boys universe version of Captain America.
Okay.
He's the first superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible, terrible racist.
Oh, really?
Just got a lot of very, very outdated views.
Interesting.
So it'd be interesting to have a super buff, young-ish looking dude playing a guy who's very out of time. Whether that's the take on the character they keep for the show. They have reinvented some of the characters there and stuff. We've got Stormfront coming this season, who appears to be quite different from the comic books. Stormfront on the TV show is a young woman who looks to be leveraging social media to get what she wants, and she has electricity powers. In the comic, Stormfront was the Nazis' first superhero.
Okay, that is quite different.
He defected, came here, but retained a lot of his values.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Mm.
So you know how for years and years now, people have been almost campaigning to have Idris Elba play
James Bond,
and it doesn't look like it's going to happen, so much so that Idris Elba is now going to play a spy in a completely separate movie for Apple. He's going to play the lead role. It's got no name yet, but apparently it's set in Africa and there's a bit of a romance element to it. So I can see this being, in my head, kind of like almost your Indiana Jones kind of, which movie was that? Actually, any of the first three Indiana Jones.
I watched Temple of Doom the other day.
It's a good movie. Good movie. So I think it's going to be that kind of one. He's going to get producer credit in the film because it's all under the deal with his Green Door Pictures company.
Has he got an agreement that he gets to do some of the music?
Maybe.
He's a DJ.
He might do the soundtrack. Yeah. Do you remember that show he was in?
Yeah. I can't remember what it's called, but yeah, he's been
fun.
I believe he's been knocking about in Ibiza. He's there most summers.
Really?
He'll do a bit of a residency and play, but I think he's been there while Corona's been happening. He's
hanging out. Because
yeah.
He got Corona.
Yep.
I remember.
He was early bird.
Yeah, he was one of the first ones.
Mm.
Just really quickly, there was word. I vaguely have this memory of the fact that there was a Clueless reboot TV show.
Right.
Talked about, I can't remember when. And there is one. It's happening. It's going to go on Peacock, which is NBC's streaming service over in the US. And it's going to be about Cher's best friend, Dion. So I'm assuming that we're also going to have Murray.
Yeah.
But couldn't we just watch the original TV?
It feels like that.
It just doesn't seem like it. So this is going to be a show where Cher's not in it, but she still exists in the universe. But we're now focusing on Dion being the cool kid. But with one less.
Sure.
I'm not sure how it's going to go.
I mean, isn't it all just an adaptation of Emma anyway?
It is.
And
it's
if
Emma.
You take the
That's
main
exactly
character
what it
out,
is.
If you take
then
Emma
what have
out,
you got?
What have you? Nothing.
You don't have anything.
Can't wait for that one.
Clamoring for it.
Mm.
Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston, Morgan Freeman, Jimmy Kimmel, Shia.
All people that wished they'd have dated Tom Selleck.
Well, you can add this to the list as well, Matthew McConaughey and Julia Roberts.
All right.
They're all going to be part of this virtual table read of the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Nice.
This Friday in America, so Saturday here.
Do we know who's playing who?
I don't know who it is, but Sean Penn's behind it.
Of course he is.
So it's going to be like an unrehearsed anything goes table read, and it's raising money for his nonprofit Core and the Reform Alliance. It's going to be live streamed 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the US on Core's Facebook page. So if you want to watch, I thought it was interesting. Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston. Is this the first thing they've been in together since that Friends episode?
Quite possibly, yeah.
That's a good cast.
Not bad.
What if Brad Pitt... Oh, I can't remember the characters' names, but who do you reckon is going to play Spicoli?
Brad Pitt.
What about Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah.
He's right there.
I don't know. Wake me up when they do a Dazed and Confused reading.
Yeah, that'll be good.
I'll be there for that.
Really super quickly, this is my last one. Kevin Hart, Will Smith are starring in a remake of planes, trains and automobiles. Both their production companies are working with Paramount to make this thing, so I'm assuming they're also going to get producer credit. That's all I know.
Nah.
All I know.
Nah, I'm good.
I don't want it either.
Kill that fire.
Let's get into some stuff we've been watching.
Before that.
Oh, yeah.
What have you forgotten? It's time. It's for an appreciation. You thought it wasn't coming. What a sensation. I brought it on home. I'm bringing it in. It's time for the Tom Appreciation segment to begin. Different intros this week.
We've got to change it every time for several reasons. The main one is we don't remember it.
This week I thought we'd have a quick look at Tom Felton, who you might know better as Draco Malfoy. What a lad. I've got a lot of time for this guy.
He's a good guy in real life.
He is a really good guy. He's very involved with lots of philanthropic activities.
I'm glad you're the one that tried to say that. No, I'm not going to attempt it.
Great term. I really enjoy it. Look, you can swing in some cash on Cameo, and he appears to always put in a bit of solid effort on his responses to people. But I've been dipping my toe back in some old series, and I had completely forgotten that he was on The Flash for a season.
So this is obviously after all of the Arrys.
Yes.
So, like, and he's a grown-up man.
Yes. And it was him playing a fellow detective who was very suspicious of Barry.
Right.
And we maybe think that he might be up to something untoward.
Ooh.
And a mystery unfolds throughout the season. And it's it was him obviously playing with the persona that had been pushed upon him thanks to Draco.
Amazing.
Of everyone expecting him to be evil. And maybe he is. Maybe he isn't. Maybe he doesn't even know.
Only time will tell.
Only time will tell. But yeah, Tom Felton, what a guy. I've got a lot of time for him.
I don't know why, but there's something about the actor that played, what's his name? I've gone blank in Game of Thrones. The annoying king.
Joffrey.
Something about the actor that played Joffrey reminded me of Tom.
Of course. Blonde, Aryan, entitled, precocious, white.
Potentially had dyed hair as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon.
Tom doesn't anymore.
No, he was looking far more
normal.
Strawberry blonde.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of that going in there.
I'd say that would be his natural colour. I appreciated that, which is why you've called this segment
the Tom Appreciation segment. You didn't think it was going to happen, but I had it in my back pocket. I didn't even make any notes for it. I sat down and I wrote the name Tom. I'm like, why have I written Tom in my notes?
That's really good.
Oh, that's right.
That's very, very good. Because you didn't mention it. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll act like it's not going to happen.
I've done some pre-work on a lot of Toms.
Oh, good.
So I've got things ready.
In the bag.
Yeah, it's not like the usual weekly work.
Yeah. Okay. If you've got a watching suggestion or a Tom suggestion, you can send them in to thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I also recommend screaming directly into your hands and throwing it into the air like a dove. Maybe the sound will travel towards us.
I've done that before with mixed success.
Yeah, that hasn't worked every time, but when it has, I've been really impressed.
And it's free, which is always good.
No stamps.
You don't have to type it all out.
I'm sick of stamps.
Oh, stamps can stamp off.
I do not want to lick things anymore. I've had enough of licking. And I know this, I've had enough of licking.
What about an ice cream? Just a spoon?
No, I just bite into ice cream.
Yeah,
hey,
right.
I bother other people with how quickly I eat ice cream because I got no feeling in my teeth or something.
Oh, so you won't get an ice cream headache?
I've never had one, but I'm like, I eat ice cream like other people do apples.
Wow. I'm just trying to think, is there another type of food that you lick apart from like a lollipop? I don't think there is. I can't off the top of my head think of one. Like you don't go, I'm going to have a packet of chips. I'm just going to lick every single one to get the chicken flavour off.
Yeah, you lick push pops and lollies and ice cream and that's about it.
That's it. All sweet stuff.
But, you know, like you cut your hand and you lick it and it doesn't taste good.
No, it doesn't.
It's very few opportunities in life to lick something and it pans out.
That's actually when I found out I wasn't a vampire. I was like,
You didn't enjoy?
Nah, just it's not that I didn't enjoy. It's just that it was nothing. You know, it's just
it's not for me.
It's not for me. Thanks. What is for me, this is not a watching suggestion. This is a playing suggestion.
Oh.
I played with my cousins a game called, I'll use the word board game, but I'm using it very loosely, Avalon.
Mm.
Basically, it's kind of like there's a Hitler one. There's a couple of them where there's a couple of bad guys. There's a couple of good guys. One of the good guys know who the other good guys are. The bad guys know who the other bad guys are. And the good guys have to try and figure out who the bad guys are.
Oh, so it's like a jacked up version of, was it Werewolf?
Werewolf. Thank you. Werewolf.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You've got to have the right group. Otherwise, it's not going to work. But you've got to have people who are willing to try and logically talk their way into going on quests and then failing the quests so that the good guys can't win. It sounds very complicated, and sometimes it will take people a couple of goes to get the hang of it, but it never took me very long because I always managed to get the good guy. So I was the person in the dark the whole time. I didn't have to try and talk anybody into the fact that I was a good guy because I was a good guy. I was just trying to figure out why others were trying to get in on missions.
Okay.
One of my cousins is a lawyer, so it's really difficult to – He can give you reasons why things should happen that don't exist because he can talk his way around. It was really fun.
Nice.
Very fun game. We spent an arvo with cups of tea and some cupcakes and we just sat there around the table and low-key had a really good time.
That does sound like a lot of fun.
Yeah, you only need, I think you can have between 5 and 10, but obviously the restrictions on how many people you can have in your house depends on where you live. But here we were able to have, we had 5 of us. So, yeah, it was really, really good.
Awesome.
Good, good fun.
Look, one of my suggestions was a building thing.
Oh, yeah?
I've had a great time over the last week when I grabbed moments building the new NES, Nintendo Entertainment System, Lego kit. It's huge. It's awesome. It's a full, like a one-to-one recreation of the original NES.
Mm-hmm.
You build a cartridge. There's a slot in the bottom for you to blow in. It's that detailed
really
that
good.
When you're building this out, you put one line of green in, yeah. But then you cover up and you think, oh, don't even see that. But the slot, when you angle it the right way, it looks just like the circuit board.
That's so clever.
So there's that sort of level. There's a one-to-one recreation of the controller,
mm-hmm.
which Lynn's picked it up and was like, oh, wow, muscle memory. It's perfect. And then it comes with this old school TV,
yep.
Like a proper, you know, deep TV that has RCA plugs on the back and everything and the sticker that they all used to have with over the vents and this sort of thing.
Yeah, that's right.
But the screen is set up so that it's a very complicated internal structure and you turn a handle on the side and it makes the screen rotate and play around.
I didn't realize. Yes. I just thought it was.
No, so it's not a static image. So
Wow. You
build on like a conveyor belt.
Mm-hmm.
And it alternates panels of a two wide, one wide, two wide, one wide. And using one by one Lego blocks,
yeah.
You create a flat panel level. So you build out on this long piece and then the things connect with chains on the back and it forms an oval that you slot into the television and it works with this crank so it plays out. Then Mario himself is on a clear plastic beam that sits on the front of this. And the way you've built out the level is there's, you know, if there's a staircase that Mario needs to go up, those blocks come out slightly from the blocks next to it. So the way that Mario sits when it spins around, he jumps up the blocks.
Oh, that's really clever.
And will jump down on top of a Goomba and all this sort of stuff. And then
wow.
The next level on top of that is if you've got the Super Mario Brothers starter kit, so there's also the Mario Brothers stuff, the actual Mario figure, if you put him on top of the TV, there's a QR code that you scan and you place him on top and he's the reader in his feet as this level plays generates the sound.
Oh, the theme.
So he plays the music and if you hit a coin, boop, oh. If you jumped up a Goomba, boop, like it's amazing. So much fun.
So that sounds like they have gone to a lot of technical effort for it. Is it difficult? Like, is it a difficult build? It sounds difficult.
So it's one of the first of their new 18-plus line.
Okay.
And it is way too involved for a young person to do. I could see some teenagers getting mm-hmm. through it okay. But I think the 18-plus thing is more to deal with who their actual target is. No one of the age of 25 is going to want it because they don't give a shit. They didn't have that Nintendo. Mm-hmm. That's... Mm-hmm. You know, 2D games like that to them are black and white.
Yep.
That's black and white movies.
Yeah, yeah.
So it doesn't have that same appeal. But someone my age plus, wow, it's awesome. It's so much fun. I cannot recommend it enough. It is one of the best builds I've done in years. I would probably put it up there. The Pirates of Barracuda Bay is the contender for the other best build I've done this year. But I would say it's... If not that, it's probably the best build since the Ninjago City a couple of years ago, which just got voted as the best kit of this century. Yeah, I really recommend it. If you can get your hands on it, it's so much fun.
You know who will be?
Abe.
Abe. But I was thinking, I cannot remember which team it was on this year's Lego Masters, who built a Game Boy.
Oh, yeah, David and G.
Yeah, that's right. I bet they were like, oh, let's get it.
Yep. So Lego has traditionally shied away from a lot of one-to-one scale recreations as general release kits because unless the subject matter is fascinating, you really limit who it could be. And most Lego stuff is about fostering imagination and branching out and doing different stuff. These are display pieces with a little bit of interactivity built in.
Right.
Oh my God, they look good. And the people who build Lego will understand what this sentence means, but the thing that surprised me about almost the entire kit, on the NES, there are four exposed bricks. That's it. There's four circle dots, and they're only where the top hinges. Every other surface of the thing, they're covered, and it's all flat panels and stuff like that. Very, very rare thing from Lego. They always leave some surfaces so that you can attach to,
yeah,
and you can mock my own creation it, whereas this is the finished kit.
Yeah, right.
Awesome.
How long did it take you?
Probably about 4 hours all up.
Well, that's not as long as I thought.
I'm a speed builder.
Okay.
I'm a very fast builder. Yeah. So I would imagine for most people it would probably take six, somewhere around there. But yeah. And it comes with two separate instruction guides, one for the television, one for the Nintendo and the bits.
Yep.
So if you want to buy it for you and your partner...
Oh, you can do one each.
You can take a segment each.
It's a good idea.
It's a very good idea. Lego hasn't been doing that for very long, so it's a great change in their thinking.
It's great when you see companies that have been around for years and years and years still doing things differently, but still doing things like they do.
Yeah.
Be different, but be the same at the same time.
Look, they're reaching out and trying to attract new adult fans. They're aware that they've already got millions of adult fan of Legos. And some of these products are not for us. And that's a weird thing. Like they've just brought out these beautiful mosaic artwork ones. I've picked up the Iron Man one. There are another three ones. I'm not that interested in them. But there are plenty of people who aren't into Lego that would see that and go,
would love the Beatles.
I want a picture of Andy Warhol's Marilyn Monroe on my wall. I can build it.
In Lego as well. That sounds pretty cool. I watched a movie. I watched Tolkien.
Oh, how was that?
I don't know why it wasn't what I thought it was until the very end, and then I went, oh, okay, it is. So it's basically about him, the author.
Is it Nicholas Holt?
Holt. So it's him growing up. Mainly they sort of flash forward. So he's a bit of a – it's World War One.
Yep.
Because he fought in World War One, and it goes back to when he was a teenager growing up and spending time with his four friends.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do they stop for second breakfast?
All the second breakfast. And they were – I understood what the movie was doing. There was a lot of flashing back and forth between World War One and whatnot. And you just thought, I finished the movie – because you know like you finish Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit or whatever and you finish the books or the films and go, oh, that was a good adventure. I feel quite energized by it.
Yep.
This one you're like, oh, – you forget, we don't think that World War One took away a huge percentage of an entire generation's male population and just wiped them out. and, you know, Tolkien was one of the survivors, and he met up with his one of his friend's mothers, and she sort of said, you know, this war took both my sons, it took my sister's sons, like this whole thing. And he's thinking, well, I know what's coming up after that. They've got the Spanish flu coming up. They've got depression coming up. They've got World War II coming up. It was not a good time to be alive back then at all. Yet these people like Tolkien had amazing minds, creative minds that tapped into this world that everybody else loves now, despite what was going on in the outside world. And I kind of thought maybe we could pick up a bit on that, you know, like, you know, COVID's,
that's pretty Spanish flu-ish.
It is Spanish flu-ish, but we're not world warring at the moment either.
Not yet.
But maybe we can be stronger than we think we are at
maybe
times.
We're going to get some really good tortured artists out of this.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll enjoy some stories. So it was a good movie. I watched it. It was a good winter movie, I thought. You know, you're like rugged up on the lounge watching it like that. Yeah, Tolkien.
Nice.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Last week was Shark Week.
How did it go?
It was pretty good. I have not yet watched the Mike Tyson Punch a Shark special. I'm sure that'll be just fine.
But it's going to be exactly what you think it's going to be.
It's going to be exactly what I think it was. But I did watch one that I've watched a bunch of them, but I watched one that I particularly enjoyed, which was Adam Devine, formerly of Workaholics, mm-hmm. who's also been in, I think he was in Pitch Perfect 3.
He's been in a fair bit.
He's been in a lot.
Yeah.
And he's currently, last week, the Magic Camp came out on Disney Plus. He's starring in that.
That's right.
His
he
best
is too.
Jack Black impression.
That's right.
So last year he had an episode of Shark Week where he was weirdly integral in discovering a tiger shark lair.
Mm-hmm. Which sounds spooky.
Yes. So he went back out this year to a similar spot with the two guys from Workaholics. So it was a Workaholics reunion. And
on the hunt for sharks.
Well, they had to find that prove in this area that sharks were hunting, mating, and having babies, or mm-hmm. as they called it, getting busy, getting down, popping out pups. So they had a checklist of things that they had to discover. And it was surprisingly weird.
In what way?
Watching a semi-serious documentary being fronted by three frat bros.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
And at one point they're like, and this is a true thing, sharks are very attracted to sound.
Yeah.
And specifically music. And there's been a study over the last 2 years at great white sharks and like large sharks respond positively to heavy metal.
Hmm.
Yeah. So they take a speaker underwater.
Are they playing Metallica?
Well, they take down a set of decks and they have turns playing different stuff. And it turns out sharks do not like dubstep.
Okay. That's a shame. What about like Dave Matthews Band?
Look, they didn't go for that sort of vibe. They were throwing a shark party on underwater and stuff. But I believe it's something to do with in metal, the sound is chug. Mm-hmm. It's a continuous groan. Whereas dubstep is bom, bom, and like it's that short, sharp stabs.
Yep,
and
yep.
You could see the sharks were not into
like,
that.
I can't be dealing with
but
this.
But the metal started and they all just start circling and it's like they're forming a pit.
That's so weird.
It was so cool. And it was these frat bros that discovered this, like these actors, but like being dumb frat idiots, basically playing their Workaholics characters again. It was such a weird mix of show.
What a concept.
Yep.
That's a weird concept.
Yep. So I would imagine they'll probably get another show next year because this one, it clicked and it worked and it was good seeing them back. And they were being really silly, but at other times you could see that they were genuinely really enjoying being scientists.
Fascinated with their own discoveries.
Yep. And it ends with the three of them in a hot tub discussing about how awesome a job they'd done. And the scientist they'd been working with was out of the hot tub standing behind, fully dressed.
Of course.
And then the next shot is they must have dragged him into the spa because he's sitting there doing a really serious talk to camera, still completely dressed. But like, you know, we came out here hoping to learn some stuff, but I think we've become really good friends. But more importantly, we've discovered some stuff that's going to push Stark knowledge forward. Oh, my God, that was so cheesy. And then the other three guys go, we love you, and jump on him. And it just ends like a weird, like, frat party comedy from the 80s.
Where it gets paused halfway through. Yeah.
I don't know. It was such a weird mix of a show. But Shark Week, I'm really enjoying that they keep pushing it further out, trying new stuff. They had the guy that hosts Extinctor Alive. He came and did a special and rediscovered a shark that hasn't been seen for over 100 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And, of course, you've got the Air Jaws or I Was Prey or
the
usual ones that they do, and they the pump staples. Out new ones. Yes. Yeah. But I'm enjoying the celebrity involvement ones and
seems
stuff.
I mean, Shark Week's been going on for years. It's so funny that they keep being able to reinvent it without jumping the shark.
Oh,
I
mean, well done.
I mean, Mike Tyson punching a shark's a bit jumpy.
Yeah, but is that any more punchy than Michael Phelps out swimming a shark?
True. You know? That's true.
And I see where they're coming from, because people, I bet people are pretty complacent about the idea of, if I get attacked by a shark, I just punch in the eye. Get fucked. You're in the mouth of a bus.
Yeah.
You ain't punching shit.
I'd probably just freeze.
I got so into sharks that I rewatched The Shallows, which.
What was that?
That's the one with Blake Lively, the shark movie.
It's not ringing a bell.
I cannot recommend it enough. It's I think he's a Spanish director.
Right.
It was filmed here in Australia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Up.
How long ago? Well, it can't be that long.
I think it came out maybe 2016.
Okay.
She is a surfer. She's down in South America somewhere and goes to a secret beach, and the locals won't tell her the name of the beach. She goes out by herself, and there are two other guys out surfing at the same time, and she gets... Basically, she gets nibbled on the leg and panics and turns around to discover that she's accidentally surfed out to a dead whale carcass. So she's had to climb up on top of the dead whale carcass while this shark – she's in the shark's lair. And it becomes, how do you get off that? And at low tide, there's a tiny rock that juts out 100 meters from
from
the beach. And then there's a buoy
40
meters past there. She's got a watch and she's got a seagull with a broken wing, and that's
it. Is that her Wilson?
Kind of. I don't know.
It sounds stressful.
She can talk to the bird. So it's how she vocalizes as a character, and we understand this sort of stuff.
But
basically, she did this movie, I think, 2 years after Ryan Reynolds, her husband, did Buried, that movie where he was buried alive for the whole movie. I fucking hate that movie. And she said that she was so inspired by him going through a grueling experience, she wanted to do something similar. My God, she goes through the ringers.
What was it called again?
The Shallows. Hmm. Fantastic. Like,
yeah, right.
Really, really, really solid. So lots of good shots of the shark, lots of daytime.
Filmed in Australia.
Yeah.
What, probably Queensland or something?
Yeah, a bit of Queensland, bit of New South Wales.
Hmm. I don't know how I've totally missed that movie.
Well worth your time.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. Hey, speaking of a movie that you should check out, you probably don't need to check this one out, but I saw it pop up on Disney Plus and I was like, Kurt Russell? It was called The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes from 1969. And I was like, yes, I will watch a movie where they bang on about how clever a piece of technology is that is so obsolete now. And the premise is... He's at uni or college, and he and his mates.
It sounds like Weird Science.
It's a bit like Weird Science. They've kind of scammed their way into getting this $20,000 computer for the uni. I know, right? Or maybe it's $10,000. What? It's still a lot, and they piece it all together anyway. Kurt Russell's there by himself. Something happened. It's not working. It shorts out. So he tries to plug it back in again, and he gets zapped. Then basically his brain is the computer. He remembers everything. Sometimes he'll just go into a trance and start like saying numbers and figures and stuff. The movie's ridiculous, but I really enjoyed, you know, that feel that movies from the 1960s and 70s have they're trying to be a bit kooky, strange, and it just ends up being a bit slapsticky, almost like those Carry On movies, that kind of thing.
Sure.
But Kurt Russell is young. Like, he's probably no older than 20, I reckon.
Well, that was peak, like, Walt Disney was grooming him as his protege.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, like Walt Disney, one of the last person he spoke to on his deathbed was Kurt Russell, and he told everyone, this guy is going to be the biggest movie star in the world. We want him. We want him.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And then to think that 6 months ago or whatever, we were watching Kurt Russell play Santa Claus. Like it's just from one extreme to the other. I love the fact that Disney Plus has got that has all of these old TVs and TV shows and movies sitting there for you.
There's some great stuff in there. I know I talked about it, but like I've been enjoying Muppets now, and I like that I can jump in and watch that, watch a bit of a doco, and then see some really, really cool old stuff.
Mm. I use it more than I thought I would. I thought I'd get it for Mandalorian, and then I would probably just check in every now and then, but I'm finding myself watching stuff more and more.
I haven't watched it yet, but I know Lindsay watched the Howard documentary the other day, and she loved it.
Really good?
Yep.
Okay, I saw that sitting there. So I'm like,
I overheard parts of it, and it sounds surprisingly deeper than what the trailer made it look to be and this sort of stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
You didn't say the magic word. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Harley Quinn Season 2, the animated show, came out.
You were keen to just fly through this.
And I got through it in like a day and a half, and it was fantastic. I'm not going to dwell on stuff too much, but I highly recommend getting into it. If you've been waiting for the Harley Quinn Poison Ivy romance, if you've been waiting for them to pull the trigger on what has been a thing in the comics for quite a while, it's putting them in the relationship together. And this, it's like a season long awakening to end on a real solid Thelma and Louise note.
That's really cool. I think that's giving a bit of fan service, but also taking storylines of potentially people who are not as aware of the, you know, where fan fiction would want to go, to realize that officially.
It is such a weird thing that Harley Quinn has gotten so popular over the last few years in films and this sort of stuff, because the Harley Quinn that people love from the old Batman animated series is not at all who the Harley Quinn in comics has become over the last few years, which is who people actually love. Mm. So there's this weird thing of Harley Quinn basically became DC's Deadpool, breaks the fourth wall, is aware that she's a cartoon character, all this sort of stuff. But yeah, they made these huge, huge mandates to break her away from the Joker and put her through, a survivor of an abusive relationship storyline. And so she's got serious depth as a character that Deadpool does not have.
Mm.
And part of that has been, you know, allowing herself to love again and finding that in the arms of Poison Ivy and some really weird stuff. So seeing that played out on screen was awesome. Some great guest stars. Bane was fucking hilarious with the mouth, and just all the other supervillains put him down all the time. They have
excellent
the Injustice League of Doom or something like that, and they make him sit on a fold out chair. They won't give him one of the good chairs at the table. But there's enough chairs for all. No, we're keeping that. Who? Mr. Invisible might be coming. I don't know any Mr. Invisible.
Is Mr. Invisible here now? He could be. You don't know.
Yeah, it's all that sort of stuff. Ron Funches still having great fun as
he got married the other day. I saw on Instagram. He looked really good. So much smiles in all of the photos.
Joyful smiles.
Yeah,
and
feel good.
Good photos with Gabe and his son. Good time. So, yeah, Harley Quinn season 2. We haven't had any news on season 3.
But it will happen, right?
I really hope it will. DC Universe looks like it's going to die. There were huge cuts that just went through Warner Brothers the other day, and they basically shut down DC Collectibles entirely, which is the statues, toys, that sort of stuff. A great deal of the editing staff at the comic division are all gone. And almost everyone that worked at DC Universe, and their original shows are all being ported over to HBO.
Yep.
Now,
one of them. I just don't.
Or
can't
CW. All sorts of different places. So the silver lining for me of there could be more is this weekend is going to be the DC fan event, where they're going to show stuff for the Snyder Cut, which a lot of people get excited for. I believe there'll be a bit of footage of the new Batwoman
Mm-hmm.
Maybe maybe there'll be something for The Batman with Robert Pattinson. But I imagine one of the things will be hopefully an announcement of season 3 for Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
When it was originally announced they were doing 26 episodes, they carved that into 2 13-episode seasons. So this is technically the end of what has been announced,
mm-hmm.
and it ends on a definitive note. And if they never do anything more again, I'm real happy with how it ended beautifully.
Nice.
Everyone goes off into the sunset.
Yeah.
But at the same time, God, I want more. It's the show is a lot.
Mm.
So Tony Hale, who is Buster on Arrested Development.
Yep.
Veep, all sorts of things. He plays one of Harley's crew called Dr. Psycho, who is a 4-foot, very, very angry telepathic.
Okay, great.
Who was in the Legion of Doom but got kicked out for using inappropriate language.
Oh, no.
Keeps calling Wonder Woman the C word.
Oh, okay, that'll do it.
And because this is an adult animated show, it says the C
word.
Right,
okay.
So watching a tiny little person scream at Wonder Woman is a lot. His character goes through a big arc throughout the season and turns on the rest and becomes one of the one of the people they have to fight against. Okay. And it was a brilliant heel turn. I didn't see it coming the way it did, and it was good.
Sounds like the exact series that you needed for this week.
It's what I needed. Mm. It was a good balance. I won't go into it, but Stargirl ended.
Yep.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ended.
Mm.
I'll talk about them next time I'm in.
Yeah, okay.
We can keep those. They're not time-wise, and it's only going to be a few more weeks till we start talking about The Boys, so it is nice to have some good superhero gear. But Harley Quinn really delivered for me.
Oh, fantastic. Do you want a quiz?
Oh, can I please?
Told you it was an easy one. It's called Who's Better? You pick. I'll give you two actors with the same name and you have to pick which one is better, therefore wins the Watchers Bestest of the Best Award.
Okay. All right.
James Franco versus James Stewart.
As in Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart.
One expression, Jimmy Stewart.
Why?
That's a difficult one because Franco is problematic for a lot of people. Jimmy Stewart, I'm sure, is problematic for some people. I don't know. I haven't dug into his past. But
I just like him in Rear Window a lot. It's one of my favourites.
I really like him in Harvey.
Oh, yeah.
Imaginary Bunny.
Yep.
That Donnie Darko was inspired by elements of. Look, I have to give it to Franco.
Okay.
Because of...
You've seen more?
This is the end, where he plays an asshole version of himself during the apocalypse. The one with Seth Rogen and all those guys, the celebrities as the world ends.
Yep.
Yeah, he's great in that, and he really takes himself down a peg.
All right.
And he was Tommy Wiseau in the Room.
Okay. And he was very good.
Franco wins.
Ben Stiller versus Ben Affleck.
Ben Stiller.
Yeah, I can never pick Ben Affleck in. I don't dislike him, but I don't like him.
I
don't know why.
I have a fair bit of time for Ben Affleck. I think for a lot of people wrote him off unfairly. He is very committed. He was real good in Daredevil in a bad film. You know, he's a good thing in a lot of bad films.
This is a good film and he directed it. I thought he was good in Argo.
Sure. Argo's
I thought that
great.
Was really good.
Yeah.
But Ben Stiller
gave us the Ben Stiller show. And I could end my argument there. But without him, we don't have Bob Odenkirk.
Well, we would never have had Reality Bites.
No. We wouldn't get people like David Cross.
Fockers.
He pushed a lot of alternative comedy to the mainstream. He brought in Meet the Frockers, which reminded people that De Niro can be
very funny.
And
Dodgeball.
Night at the Museum series.
Night at the Museum. You've also got Zoolander, ridiculously good looking. There's a heap. Yeah. It's Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller all the way.
All right. Kate Blanchett versus Kate Winslet.
I have to go Blanchett. You got to rep the home team.
But also I think you'd just pick her anyway. Not that there's anything wrong with Kate Winslet, but Kate Blanchett can do everything. You can put her in any movie.
This is true.
And she's good.
She's fantastic in Thor.
Yep.
She's great in real serious stuff. She is in Hot Fuzz.
She is too.
Kate Winslet,
The last thing I remember of her was a nude. Oh, like she's, paint me like one of your.
She did that, and there was another. There was a movie, Harvey Keitel, I think it was. It's an Australian movie.
It wasn't Dressmaker. You wouldn't have seen Dressmaker.
I don't think it was that.
It's not set in the 50s.
No. But it was an old movie.
Right.
And she was like, I might be confusing things, but I think she was like his sex slave or something. I haven't seen this movie in 20-something years.
I think Kate Winslet, she's a bit like Gillian Anderson. I reckon she looks better now.
Sure. I will back that. Gillian Anderson aged very well.
So well.
You would.
Yeah, you would.
You would.
You 100% would. Even with that strange hairdo that she has in Sex Education, you still would.
Yeah.
All right. It's a little bit different. It's boy versus girl.
Right.
Drew Barrymore
yeah.
versus Drew Carey.
I have to give it to my boy, Drew Carey. I know you weren't expecting
even
that.
Even the pause surprised me. I was like, why is he spending so much time having a think about this? Why?
Whose line is it anyway?
Yeah, it is great.
It's that's the answer for me. I know he doesn't host it anymore, but because he's busy hosting
Price is Right?
That's it, Price is Right. Yeah. I feel he'd be a lot of fun to hang out with, but so would Drew Barrymore. That is a really tough one.
You know who we should speak to about this? Mick has met Drew Barrymore.
Mm.
I can't remember the reasons, but he met her.
Sure.
Need to ask him about it. But I would pick Drew Barrymore just because she's been around for years. She's like the sweetheart. But with a bit of an edge. Like she'd be funny. I reckon you could have a funny combo with her. Sit down and.
I don't think it would be awkward if you got stuck in a lift.
No. She's great. All right. We've done sort of this before, but I don't think we definitively decided.
All right.
Laura Dern versus Laura Linney. I originally would have said Laura Linney. Her earlier stuff, like even when she was in Ginderbine, amazing. Love Actually, great. But Laura Dern has been in some really good stuff.
Yeah, Dern's in Jurassic Park. She wins.
Okay, I'm happy with that. Sorry. Her character in Big Little Lies was the standout.
Oh, she was phenomenal in The Founder, the story about Ray Kroc, the guy that stole McDonald's. She plays his wife and she's so good in that. Small role, but.
Dern. Congratulations, Dern. Chris Hemsworth versus Chris Pratt.
Hemsworth.
Because of a home ground.
And because he's not,
Yeah. See, if it was Chris Pratt as you knew him.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me Chris Pratt just off Guardians of the Galaxy, still working on Parks and Recreation, humble. Still married to Anna Faris, not part of a certain church, not married to Schwarzenegger's daughter, not up his own ass. Hemsworth, on the other hand, just continues to escalate the cool.
Never not being cool.
There's like a reversed, there's a reverse curve happening there, I think.
But maybe, in all honesty, even when Chris Hemsworth was in Neighbours, he was you looked at him and you're like, you're too cool for this show.
I think Hemsworth is secretly leeching Chris Pratt's cool. When they're on set together for these Avengers movies and stuff. Oh, look, even more they're flipping because Chris Pratt was fat and got jacked.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Hemsworth
yeah.
put on a fat suit.
He did and still looked amazing.
Yeah.
All right, this one I already know what your answer is going to be, but we'll...
Sure. Have fun.
Yeah, we'll just have fun. Nick Nolte versus Nick Frost.
Oh.
See, that pause again has surprised me.
Yeah. It is Nick Frost, 2000%.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go Nick Nolte versus Gary Busey, which is not a fair question to ask me. But Nick Nolte versus Nick Frost. Look, I love a lot of Nolte. You've got a lot of time for the guy.
I mean, his last thing I saw him in, well, probably you as well, was The Mandalorian, and he was great in that. But
Nick Frost is very high on my list of guys I'd want to hang out with who probably wouldn't want to hang out with me.
So specific.
I've watched enough.
Why do you think he's not going to want to hang out with you?
I used to be an interviewer. I watch interviews very closely and I can read a lot of subtext. And there are certain people who never want to be interviewed. Nick Frost is very high on that list. And I'm not saying he's a prick. I'm not saying he's difficult.
Is he uncomfortable?
Very. And he will, wherever possible, they pair him up to interview with someone else because they give a shit.
Yep.
And so they'll pair him up with Simon Pegg, and yep. Simon does the talking, and Nick responds where he needs to, but will play on his phone.
Or bit like your Jennifer Saunders. They'll put her with Dawn French or Joanna Lumley because the other two will talk. Yep, I get you.
That's it. Yep.
Speaking of Jennifer, these are two Jennifers, not Saunders. Jennifer Aniston versus Jennifer Garner.
I'm giving it to my girl Garner.
I am too. Not once again, I think Jennifer Aniston's great.
But she wasn't 13 going on 30.
She never was. And Jennifer Garner can play some very different characters.
Hell yeah. She got range. Jennifer Aniston, not so much.
Jennifer Aniston, you notice her voice is a bit deeper lately?
Do you reckon she's going Kathleen Turner?
I hope not.
So do I.
Is she a smoker, maybe?
Ah.
Jennifer Garner. She's in a lot of things that you watch and you go, oh, she's in it. Yeah. I already know that this movie's going to be fine. I'm trying to think. There was something, I watched her in something recently and she was like the bad guy. Oh, I can't think of what it was. It was a comedy. It was like a love interest comedy. Oh, my God. It's driving me. I'm going to shout it in an hour's time. I cannot think of it.
Juno. She's in Juno,
isn't
she? No,
but she was good in that with Ben Affleck. Was that Ben Affleck?
Yeah, it's the parents.
Yeah. She made that role somehow likable because it shouldn't have been by the end, but it was.
She garners our attention.
Yay! And thus concludes, who's better? You pick. And that's it. That's decided for the rest of time now.
Lock it.
Yeah, you can't.
Carve it into the Rosetta Stone.
Exactly. On that note, Tom, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Leah. Thanks, everybody. Stay safe, stay healthy. I will probably be away for an episode or two.
Yeah.
So I think Leah's got some special guests who are going to come and fill the hole.
There's like three people who are on, they're on like, I was going to say Amber Alert.
Sure.
Where it's like, in the next few weeks, are you keen? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, cool.
Yep. Because there's a baby and I may have slightly less watching. But, hey, get excited because in a few weeks I'm going to tell you all about which season of Bluey you should start with or something.
That's right. Why Emma Wiggle really is the best one.
I got a lot of time for Lockie and Simon. He's the one with the deep voice. Mm-hmm. God, he can sing. He used to be a fan of the opera.
Ah, he does look like, well, a lot of them look like they are, but he does look like he's from musical theatre. But Emma, she smiles.
She was born for this.
She really was.
She's been one of their backups for years.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're rambling during the outro.
Don't need to.
Everybody, I love you. Hold everyone around you close. Have a nice hug. Miss you all. I'll see you when I see you.
On the flip side.